28. See, I said 12, I knew 28, and it's, we printed 29 in the bulletin, so my misprint. Thank you. Thank you. Goodness. Praise the Lord. Once you get your bulletin out, we got some notes to take this morning. First verse I want to talk to you about is Romans 1:16. Write that in, as a note in your bulletin. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Write down 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." But listen. "But to us who are being saved, it is" what? You remember? "The power of God." The power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20. "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Write that down. You can look that later. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake." I want to talk to you today. Last week we talked to you about the will of God for His church. We're doing this series, "The Church Has Left the Building," just 2 weeks. 2 weeks messages series, short, little tiny series. "The Church Has Left the Building." And last week we talked to you about God's will for His church. His will for His church is that His house would be full. We talked about there's no difference between quantity and quality. There is a difference, but God wants quality and quantity. He doesn't want one over the other. And we talked about the fact that God wants His house to be full. He wants as many people to be saved, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as possibly will come. His will is that no one perish, but all to come to repentance. That is His will for mankind. We know that not everyone will be saved. And then we discussed how God gave us the awesome responsibility of taking this message that literally changes lives for eternity. The only thing we can take to heaven with us is not silver and gold. The only thing we can take to heaven with us, because all of that stuff will perish, is other people. And God could have sent angels down from heaven and proclaimed the gospel to every man on the face of the earth perfectly, completely, without any reservations. He could have done a perfect job with it. He could have chosen birds in the sky to write the gospel every day, the name of Jesus in the clouds, and the full gospel story for all men to see, and given understanding for men to be able to read it that can't even read. He could have done all of that. But He didn't. He chose you. He chose me to be His servants, as we looked at the parable last week, to be His servants, to go out into the highways and byways, to go out into the streets and alleyways, to go into every town and village, East Mariches and Mariches and Shirley and Mastic and all the towns around us, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to, in strong language in the Bible, to compel them to come in. To compel them to come in. That's what He wants us to do. As His church, as His body of Christ, He wants us to go out with this powerful message. Not with words only, as we're seeing here today, but with the power of God. That's what I want to talk today about. The church has left the building, but you're not going under your own steam. Today, when you go and share the gospel, you're not going in your own words. You're not. You might be afraid. You might be shaking. You might be quaking and quivering in your boots. It's perfectly natural. Even as a pastor, God says, "Share the gospel with him." I go, "Okay, God, but he's, you know, might not be in the right time." And I have all these excuses, especially on an airplane, especially when, you know, I have a captive audience. You don't like what I'm hearing to say? You know, there's the door, you know, on the airplane. You know, I got a captive audience. But, you know, I can think of a thousand reasons not to share the gospel, not to, you know, the guy's got a frown, he's had a bad day, whatever. But God prompts you. God shares that with you. And it's not your words. It's not your authority. It's not your stuff. It's the power of God, the power of the gospel that changes hearts. And that's what I want to talk about, that power. First of all, that power, he talks about it in all these verses. I hope you wrote those down. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. As we look at that first verse this morning, as we think about that first verse this morning, we talk about the power of God for salvation. That salvation is critically important to understand. That salvation is most assuredly, absolutely certain that that salvation is certainly talking about the kingdom of God, talking about the fact that you pass from death to life, the fact that you come from darkness into the light, all the illustrations that God gives us in the Word for the new birth. You have been reborn, as he told Nicodemus, the first Nick at night in John 3. And he talks to him about you have to be reborn. Certainly it means that we have eternal life, that we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in heaven. Most certainly it has all of those connotations. But it's not limited only to heaven. It's not limited only to the day you die and go to glory. It's also talking about the here and now. Being the power of God unto salvation, we have a lot in this present life to be saved from, don't we? If you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, I've been a Christian for a lot of years now, and I can tell you that my life was completely different B.C., before Christ. My life was completely, completely, completely different. And I needed that power of the gospel not just to save me for when the day I perish and die and I want to go to heaven. That's fire insurance, I suppose. That's getting out of hell. You know, that's important and I understand that. But I needed to be saved from a lot of stuff right now. You see, the reason, one of the reasons, and you may not have ever known this, I don't think I've ever shared this, one of the reasons I talk so much about the love passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I never told you why I talk so much about that. That was the opposite of my life before Christ. That was the opposite of who I was, and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ came into my life and radically, radically changed who I was. Before I was a Christian, I was not a patient person. I was the opposite of patient. I was, you might say, impatient. That didn't even describe me. I remember a computer guy coming to my office once, and this is the third or fourth or fifth time he'd come to my office to fix my computer, and he always left the office without testing what he did. Oh, that made me so angry, because then I'd have to call him, and then he was halfway, and he couldn't come back right then, and it didn't work again. Oh, I was so angry. I picked the computer up and I threw it across the room and I went and bought a new one and installed it new. Talk about impatient. That wasn't very patient, was it? I would get angry very quickly. And it talks about being kind. I was a debt collector. I wasn't a very kind person. It talks about envying. You told you before, as I was in business, my idol was Donald Trump. I envied everything about Donald Trump, and he is not a man to envy, if you know what I mean. Boasting, proud, rude, all of those things described me. Self-seeking? Are you kidding me? I was out only for myself. I wanted to make as much money as I possibly could, as quickly as I possibly could, and that my entire life was wrapped up in only seeking self. Only seeking self. Easily angered, without question. I used to keep a list. This is crazy. I used to keep a list of those who wronged me so that I could take care of it later. I really did. I'm trying to tell you how my life has changed. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You see why I memorized this passage of Scripture? It was on purpose for me, so that I would remember where I came from and remember the power. I couldn't make those changes on my own. It would be impossible. And it even alludes to it. I think in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, it alludes, can a zebra change his stripes? Can a leopard change his spots? The answer is no, we cannot change ourselves. But the power of the gospel can change us and make us whole again. It can save us from ourselves. That's what I had to be saved from. Now, I'm a pastor. I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe that the devil exists. But you know who my real enemy was? My enemy, real enemy, was me. I had to shed the body. I had to grab hold of that passage of Scripture that said, behold, all things have passed away, and I needed all that to go, and behold, all things become new. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something I can't do for myself. Something that only the Holy Spirit can do in me. That's what God does. That's the power of the gospel. And Matthew 28, that's a huge typo. It's not only a typo, but it's in bold and big font. It's going to haunt me all day. So, poor Janet, she did not proofread this, but if she had, we would have caught that. And she's probably driving her nuts. Look at this commission that God gives us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, go. Circle that word. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, what's that next word? Everything or all I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Now I want to talk about the power of the gospel and our responsibility to take that gospel, that good news, that message to the world and the benefit of that to the world. You see, they can't change themselves any more than you could change yourself. Think about for a few moments, this isn't just me. You told your story up here, we would be laughing at some of the crazy stuff you used to keep track of and do, right? It's not just me. BC in your life, before Christ in your life, you were a completely different person too, weren't you? Can I make a very bold statement with you that you may have to process? And if you're not a believer, you may just reject this statement altogether. If you have not changed as a result of the gospel, can I just tell you that you very well may not be saved? If there hasn't been significant life change in you, then you may not be saved. Because the gospel doesn't move into your life. You receive, you believe the gospel, and it births something new in you. It is a rebirth. It is all things passed away. Not one single thing in my life stayed the same. Nothing stayed the same. I view everything differently. You might say, God opened my eyes And it's like I have Bible glasses on. I can see things through the lens of the Scriptures. And it in my whole world, it's like my whole world became living color, if you will. And I could see things differently and have understanding. And and I see people now, and they talk about things, and they have a worldly viewpoint or a worldview that's completely atheist or whatever, evolution and all of that stuff. And I look at that, and I see that, and I shake my head. That used to be me. And God has given me understanding. My life has changed. And we have the awesome responsibility to take that salvation, the power of the gospel, to take that message of salvation to the world, that they too can receive heaven, but also that they can receive salvation from themselves, from their world, from their viewpoints, and from their stuff now. I thought about telling you about Donna. I have a video. I showed it here one time before. Donna was on crack. Donna was a crack addict for years and years and years. She was in our church. She got saved at our church in Atlanta. We were inner city church. And they didn't think she was going to come to her daughter's wedding because she was homeless, on crack. And she showed up at her daughter's wedding. And we received her, loved on her, and she couldn't believe the love that the church was showing. Every other church she had been to, you know, sit over here, whatever, and they just received her and loved her and hugged her, and we were praying that she would show up at her daughter's wedding, and she was overwhelmed with it. And that drew her. That love of Jesus drew her. What is different about these people? And now she just graduated, maybe a year ago now, she graduated from Lee Cordon Bleu Culinary School. She didn't even have a high school diploma when we met her. And she graduated. She's now a chef with a bachelor's degree in whatever, food science or whatever it is. And she's now a chef from Lee Cordon Bleu in Atlanta. Isn't that amazing? Candace, a girl who, I wish I had thought of putting this picture up. Candace failed the 8th grade, I think, four or five times. And the guidance counselor and the principal met with Candace and her mom and said, you know, school isn't for everybody. They literally said these words, school isn't for everybody. You probably should just let her drop out and, you know, get some entry-level job somewhere and just see what happens in life. Well, we had an after-school learning center in Atlanta. And Candace started to come. She didn't really want to drop out. And so she started to come to the after-school learning center. We used to pick her up on a bus with maybe 30, 40 other kids. And she started coming to the... I tutored her in algebra. We had an English teacher there, and she tutored her in English. And she ended up getting the B honor roll. And I just got a graduation picture. She graduated early this year because of her credits. She graduated high school. Isn't that just astonishing? And you should see she's a completely different person because we didn't just give her algebra. We didn't just give her English. We gave her the gospel, and it was the power of God for salvation to save her from herself, from the destructive path that she was on. That power of the gospel saved Donna from a life of crack cocaine. That power of the gospel saved me from a life of hatred and bitterness and envy and hatred and everything anti-love that I could be on. That was my path. That was me. I didn't just try to compete with competitors. I went out to destroy competitors in my industry. I hated them. There wasn't big enough pounds for them and me in the same business. That was my life. And God has saved me radically from all of that. My life is completely different. And He gave me this passage of Scripture for my own life to pass on to as many people as I possibly can. So what does this have to do with the Great Commission? I want to talk about the Great Commission real quick. I have some notes in your bulletin. This is really important that you write this down, okay? I have a blank here. I don't do too many blanks anymore. You probably noticed that. This is the commission that Jesus gives to His church. We are the church. He gives it to me and to you. go in the original Greek, and I don't get hung up on original Greek too much, but this is critically important. When we look at this verse in context with the original language, it's really, really important to understand what this word go means in the text that Jesus is speaking here. In the Greek that this is translated in, when you say, therefore go and make disciples, that word go, ready for this? Write this down. It literally means go. It really does. In other words, you and I, this is not a suggestion. This is not a something we do if we feel like it. If our life has been changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if our life, the power of the gospel has been breathed into us and we are literally new creatures in Jesus, that life has been transformed, then we have to take that message to the world. We're not going to just want to feel like it. It's going to compel us forward. We're going to have a holy excitement. Sometimes as we get older as a Christian, as we mature in years, and I don't mean in age, I mean in life as a Christian, sometimes we can get a little lax in spreading the gospel. I don't know why that happens, except maybe we just get a little complacent in our spiritual life. And the purpose of last week's message and this week's message combined is to relight that fire, to fan that into flame, to get us excited again as we come alongside of one of the most natural days in the year to come to church. I believe we can use the natural days to want to come to church and propel us to invite and link those two things together and take these days that are naturally large in the church and compound them and breathe life into those and be obedient to the gospel. Not that we shouldn't share every day of the year, we should be, but to use these days to catapult the kingdom of God forward. So I'm going to encourage you this week to go. To go make disciples. To take this life-changing message. Think of yourself, B.C. Think of what you were like before Christ. Think of the changes that God has made in your life, that you would be willing to go to places you would never go to before. That you were willing to look into the mirror spiritually and make changes in your life when God challenged you to be a giver. Some of you had never thought about giving in the context as we went through that series. And God has challenged you and you have answered the call and says, I will make that change by faith. I don't know, people have already told me. I've had one person tell me last week, I added up the bills and it wasn't working out. I said, oh God, I'm just going to do it. And I wrote that tithe check out for Jesus by faith, believing His promises in Malachi. And guess what? I redid the math and I don't know what happened, but it worked. I had enough money for my bills, right? And so God does that. God does that and He breathes life into us when we believe His promises and take His promises as our own. And He will honor that. This is one of those commandments. This is one of those things to take those invitations, no matter how old we are, no matter how many aches or pains we do, and go invite someone. If you can't get out, take a postcard and put an address on it and mail it. With a little handwritten note, I would love it if you would come. It would mean so much to me if you would come sit with me on Easter Sunday. Whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, in another passage of Scripture, He says, listen, when you don't know what to say and you're being obedient to me, I'll give you the words to speak. And He does all the time. It's not your words. It's not your authority. It's not your power. God gives you the power and the authority to take the message out. Just do it. Just go. Just go. And as you go, as you're obedient, He will honor that. And He will give you the words to say. I want to leave some extra time this morning. I think it's important to build relationships and all outside the church to do all of that. Today there's some next steps. One of the next steps is to memorize. And I got it right on the bottom. Look at that. Matthew 28, just check that. If you want to memorize that, I encourage you to memorize that. The next step that you might want to take, and I encourage everyone to do this right now. Usually I send you home with your next step. We're going to do this one right now. Just off to the side in your bulletin, I want you to list three people that you can invite this week to Easter. Can you just do that quickly? I keep a list in my phone. You know, I'm high tech. It is a different list than I used to have. It is. Thank you, Maria. That's awesome. I didn't think about that. So I keep a list in my phone. You know, if you're an Apple guy, you can set up groups. So I have my invite group that I pray for all the time, and I always write personal notes to them for Easter. I have little note cards. I put invitations in. And I think I counted them this morning. I think there's 24 people on my list that I continually cycle through, that I reach out to, that I'm connected with. And so I'd encourage you to you don't need 24 today. If God gives you more, praise the Lord. But right now, would you take, and there's a pen in front of you right now, and list out three people. You can think of three people. Everybody can think of three people that aren't connected with the church, that aren't going anywhere, that maybe there it's, I have one guy on here and his wife, and they are complete atheists. I mean, if there was somebody that I would go, oh God, are you sure? It's this people, right? And you know what? I invite them. I love on them. They were in the hospital recently. We visit them. We minister to them. We just show them the love of Jesus. That's all we do. All we do is go and be Jesus to them. Jesus would not avoid them, right? He hung out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and maybe God's given you someone. Maybe you don't know their name. Maybe it's a guy that stands on the corner with one of those signs, and you go, homeless guy on 5th and 27th or whatever the street is. I'm serious. Whoever the Holy Spirit's given you right now, right? At least everybody got three names or three people, all right? Now I want you to take the next step with me. Everyone doing this today. Pray for those three people this week. Every single day this week, will you pray for them? Will you add them to your prayer list? Can you do that? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. And then I want you to take the next step and invite those three people to church next week. I want you sometime this week, it can be today, it can be Friday, sometime this week, take an invite card, take those things, this is targeted reaching out now, and you just take an invite, mail it, whatever you got to do, door hanger, there's lots of stuff out here, and just give them an invite and say, it would mean so much to me. I've been praying for you this week, it means so much to me if you would come with me to Easter. I usually go to the 9 o'clock service, but if that doesn't work for you, you can. We have an 11 o'clock service too. Which one do you think you want to go to? And then you maybe change your week, right? So you can come to church with them. Whatever it takes to reach somebody for Jesus. Now I want to close today, if you would come, Kim. I want to close today with some prayer time. This is very unusual for us. Not prayer. That sounded strange, didn't it? But usually we don't close quite this way. I want us to spend an extended time of prayer this morning, praying for those people. Now, you don't have to pray out loud. You're welcome to pray out loud. You won't disrupt me. As I said, I come. Atlanta was my previous church, and that was about half African American, and they would hoot and holler off. That's why nothing bothers me when I preach. All right? So just, you can pray out loud. It doesn't bother me. But just, I want you to join with me in praying for, specifically for these three people. And as we go through this morning, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to two different areas. One, the Holy Spirit might say, Bill, I want you to talk to that person Wednesday. I want you to pray for that person for the next 3 days. And maybe the Holy Spirit will ask you something specific like, Ellen, I want you to fast for this person for 24 hours. Whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you, if it's selfless, if it's selfish, you can put a question mark on it because it's probably not from the Holy Spirit. But if it's a selfless thing, it's probably from the Holy Spirit. If it's going to cost you something, it's probably from the Holy Spirit. But if you're going to buy a big gift and then give it and he's going to know it is, you know what I'm saying? That can be selfish, right? But that's probably not from him. But be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit during this time. I'm not being mystical. Not saying you're going to have writing on the wall. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We have, but sometimes it's just an impression. It's just, you know, I feel like I need to reach out and maybe I need to go check on them. I haven't seen them for a while. I just need to call them this week or something. You know, they're in need and you take them something to help them. The second thing I want you to be sensitive to is God putting a fourth person on your heart. God putting another person. And maybe as we're praying, you didn't think about that person. You haven't seen that person in a long time. And God just write their name down. And say, God, what would you have me do? I want to be open to you. I want to be sensitive to you. So we're going to give the Spirit some time to work this morning. Just some time to work on our own hearts. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to sing and pray. We might sing again and pray. There's no agenda during this time. That's why I tell you, usually our services are pretty organized. But the next part of our service is we're going to sing and pray. And I'm going to ask you to stand up with us. And we're going to start standing. But listen, if you need to sit down, feel free. If you want to kneel, feel free. It's unscripted, all right? So we're going to start standing. And then you can sit, stand, kneel, whatever you want to do. It's comfortable. As we pray for just 10 minutes or so, okay? As we just be in the Lord's presence and let His presence work in our hearts. So Kim, let's start with singing. Can we sing? Let's start with that song. Focus on the Lord. First of all, for who you are. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You have unlimited power and influence in people's lives. And Lord, you have called many of us here today out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We, many of us today, have experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change us, Lord. I can't believe who I used to be. I look back in that and disgust. And it's painful, God, to look back and see the wake of devastation that I poured onto other people because I was out for me. And you changed all of that. You allowed me to repent and amend for so much of that. And God, the stuff I couldn't fix, you covered by your blood anyway. And you granted me pardon, undeserved, completely I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. And you still had mercy, untold mercy and rich grace poured into my life. Thank you, Lord. And God, as we think about that in each one of our lives, who we were before Christ, how we can start our prayer time this morning with complete humility in your presence. God, as much as we don't deserve forgiveness, God, you have given it to us anyway. You have lavished grace upon us, God. Not that we can go out and sin, Lord, but that all of our sin was atoned for and you were forgiven us. And the stuff that I used to lay in bed awake at night about that plagued me, the decisions I made, Lord, were lifted from me. And you have given me grace. You have given me mercy in its place. You received me, accepted me, not after I got everything cleaned up, God. That's what's so amazing. You took me just as I was. Lord, you took me broken. You took me, Lord, with my heart full of all kinds of rotten stuff. And you took me in anyway. And you received me. And you loved me. And you accepted me. God, thank you for that. And Lord, I pray today that as we reflect on who we were before Jesus, just for a moment, that God, that would birth in us a new fire within us to reach out to our neighbors, to reach out to our friends, our loved ones, to reach out to those around us that are perishing, that are in the same state or maybe worse, Lord, than we are. Worse. And they, the power of God unto salvation, you want to rescue them, not just from hell. God, that in and of itself would be amazing, but Lord, you give us so much more than that. And God, we humble ourselves today and just say thank you. And Lord, we recognize your lordship. We recognize your authority, God, today. And we bless that and we praise you for it, God. And we believe you today that you died on the cross for our sin. We broke your law. And Lord, you saved us from sin and death. And now, God, we pray that you would use all of that to birth into us, to breathe to us, to give us a fresh wind and a fresh fire to pour out into our lives. God, to fan that into flame once again, that evangelistic fervor, God, to reach out to this community for Jesus Christ, to save someone not just from hell, but from their own life and their own destruction, from the problems that plague them, God. We pray, Lord, that you would breathe into us a new spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, that you would come and revive, God, that maybe we got a little lazy in our spiritual life. Well, Lord, we're sorry for that. We repent of that today. God, just a sign of repentance is our just listing down some names and a promise, God, that we will reach out this week. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, first of all, that God, as we go out, that you would give us a confidence, a holy boldness to reach out into the darkness and to take people that are doomed to hell and rescue them into life. God, right now we pray for those folks. We lift them up before the throne of grace. That's for Gene and Brenda. Lord, you put them in my path, God. I had nothing to do with that. You love it. I pray for Art, God. I've been reaching out to him, Lord, for 2 solid years. His son, God, is radically saved. He says, oh, my father needs Jesus so bad. And he knows about your church. And I'm astonished. He said he wants to come, and he just hasn't yet. Lord, I pray for the people on my list, God. Lord, I pray, first of all, that their hearts would be receptive to the invitation. Lord, mine went in the mail Thursday. Lord, we're going to be reaching out more this week, God, but I pray that their hearts would be receptive to that invitation, to change in their heart and life. Pray that same thing for your 3. Would you do that right now? just say, God, make them receptive. I make they're so far out, I don't have a clue, Lord, but remember you were that far out. You were further out maybe than them. Your mind was more close to the gospel than maybe theirs is. And God birthed a miracle in you. It's not impossible, God. That's why I started this prayer with God is all powerful. Don't forget. It may be an atheist. There may be somebody antagonistic to the gospel. But God can reach them. Reach the Apostle Paul. He reached you, didn't he? Ask God to reach them. It wasn't by accident that they got connected into your life. Lift them before the throne of grace. God touched them. Call them out of darkness into the light. Give them the passion, God, to change. Help them seek the truth and let the truth set them free. Let the waters of your grace wash over them. We had somebody saved last night on the internet at 9:37. Connected to one of our families here, and I praise God for her. And Lord, we bless her in the name of Jesus. We reached her, Lord, on the internet at night, God. You can reach the people that were invited. You must say something else. Just keep your heart engaged. Let the Spirit work in your life. This is a simple song.
Though my world may fall, though my world may fall, I will never let you go. You're my Savior, my Savior, my closest friend, my closest friend. I will worship you, oh, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, oh, I love, love and need you.
Did anybody put a loved one on their list? Someone that children, children. Did anybody do that? Just give me your hand. Somebody that means a lot, right? Let's pray for them specifically right now. Father, I believe you prompted us to just change gears a little bit. Lord, there's people on these lists that mean infinitely more than a friend or a work associate or the clerk at the gas station or whatever. God, some of these people have written down, these precious people have written down a loved one, a family member, a daughter, a son. God, I know who Frank wrote down. God, it's his son, Lord. It's his daughter. And Lord, I pray for them in the name of Jesus. Sean, Lord, says there is no God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come alongside of Frank and Peggy. We lift them up before the throne of grace. We pray, God, that you would extend that invitation that they give this week, that you would take every single one that wrote this down, God, a daughter, a son, a granddaughter. Lord, Pat and Ray constantly pray for their grandkids. And Lord, they're so far away from you, Lord. They weren't raised that way, God. Their parents certainly weren't. But they have gone so far away, Lord. And God, we're just switching gears a little bit to cry out to the throne of grace, the one who sits on the throne of grace and mercy, asking you to intervene especially, God, in each one of these children's lives. Lord, it could be a niece or a nephew, God. I know Jill Kelly, we pray for her nieces and nephews, God. God, that you would supernaturally work in a mighty way, God, in their hearts and lives. God, draw them to Christ, we pray, in the name of Jesus. They think up is down and down is up, God. And Lord, they don't know how they offend a holy God. you will not be forever, and there will come a day when you shut the door to eternity, and those inside will be saved, and those outside will perish forever and ever, God. God, I pray for them, especially them this morning, God, that you would work in their hearts to spark eternal life, to spark the gospel that has such power. Church, I didn't share this with you, but the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's at work in the gospel to change you and I from sinners to saints. The same gospel, the same power is the same power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if you can raise a three-day dead corpse that was brutally murdered and beaten and crucified and was dead as dead can be, and you can breathe life into that corpse, Holy Spirit, you can breathe life into these children. You can breathe life into these grandchildren, these nieces, these nephews, these family members. Someone here might be praying for their husband or their wife. Lord, in fact, I know that is true. God, bless that marriage. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them see reality. Help them see the truth of the gospel of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint them with your presence. That you would call them out of their own selfishness and into love, God, a love relationship with you. We lift them up, God, in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, today. We praise you, God. Let's sing one more time.
God is worthy.
By your Spirit.
By your Spirit.
Continue to work in us this week. If you want us to be doing something specific, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prompt us and make us sensitive to what you're leading in. Help us be sensitive to the still small voice that speaks into us, Lord. And God, help us be obedient to you, Lord. Even if it makes us uncomfortable, even if it seems a little crazy, Lord, I don't know how many times I've shown up because I was obedient to you. And Lord, it was just the right moment. It was just the right thing that you had me say. It was just the right thing you had me say. So help us be sensitive to that this week. Help us go. Help us go and be obedient to you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Amen. You can be seated. If you would take that communication card and